We're going to do a little something different today. I'm going to just kind of give you a broad overview of the Ten Commandments. As I was starting to go into the next section, I realized that, you know, we don't really understand today in the modern church what the Ten Commandments are. Partly because we're so far removed from the days of Moses. Moses could just immediately start expounding upon the Ten Commandments, the first and the second commandment in chapter 4, about worshiping God only and not making idols, because his audience understood what a covenant was. They understood how the Ten Commandments related to the covenant. We don't, for the most part. I mean, I'm sure some of you do. So I'm not implying and insulting anyone if you do know those things. But you know, we need to be aware that most people really are unfamiliar with many of these things. And so I thought I need to do an introductory sermon. But how can I do that in a way that's interesting? Because quite frankly, I find most introductions boring and not really engaging. So I gave some thought. I thought, well, how can I do this in a fun, interesting way? I thought, well, a top 10 list. And so I'm going to do a list of 10 things that you may or may not know about the Ten Commandments. Obviously, each point is going to be very quick. I can't expound upon each point very long. But don't worry. We'll be covering this material over again as we come to it later on. But for each point, I'm going to ask a question. Why is this important? Why is this important? And I'm going to answer that question. And so, you know, as you might want to use your bulletin outline and write down the answer. Why is this important as I come to that? But we want to begin with the Word of God. And chapter 5, verses 1 through 6 is a good introduction because it introduces some of the things I'm going to talk about. I will expound upon this text, or at least portions of it, in today's message. And so let's give our attention now to the Word of God from Deuteronomy chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire. Well, I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up into the mountain. He said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." And so ends the reading of our scripture lesson today. And may God add his blessing upon it. So without further ado, let's get going on this list. You may or may not know that the Ten Commandments is not the Ten Commandments' biblical name. I've mentioned this already several times, but the name given to what we call the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament Hebrew Bible is the Ten Words. Why is this important? Well, it's important because it reminds us the Ten Commandments are not simply commandments. They are instructions. We have a lot of commandments in our country, in our state, the state of Pennsylvania. But these commandments are designed to be obeyed. They're not designed to teach us, to instruct us. The Ten Commandments are designed to teach us. And why are they designed to teach us? Because God wants to bless us. We're going to find again and again that Moses says that if we know the Ten Commandments and we obey the Ten Commandments, we are going to be blessed. But if we disregard the Ten Commandments and we don't obey the Ten Commandments, we will be cursed. We see this so clearly in our society today. As a society, we have forgotten the Ten Commandments, haven't we, for the most part? We need to be teaching our children, our grandchildren, the Ten Commandments. And to do that, we have to know the Ten Commandments. They're given for our instruction. Second thing you may or may not know, the Ten Commandments are covenant stipulations, or covenant rules, or commandments. You see, there are many law codes, right? We have legislative law codes. We're very familiar with that. There's a whole host of legislation comes out of Harrisburg or Washington, D.C. There's what's called natural law. We all kind of have an idea of what's right or wrong in our heart. Paul speaks of that in the opening chapters of Romans. But the Ten Commandments are a covenantal law code. We see this very clearly in our text today, don't we? The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. Now, there's one of those words you may not be familiar with. And what is a covenant? Well, we see it in verse 6. A covenant is a relationship. What is the very first thing God says in the introduction to the Ten Commandments? I am the Lord your God. God is saying, I have a relationship with you. As we're going to learn, that relationship was a relationship that God made with Israel. Israel didn't approach God and say, hey, God, can we be friends? No, God came to Israel and says, I am your God. We have to understand this. This is why it's so important. Why is this important? Because if we treat the Ten Commandments as anything other than a relationship with God, we're misusing those commandments. The Ten Commandments presuppose a relationship. And so if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you can't keep the Ten Commandments. That is very powerful. I want to say it again. If you do not have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you cannot keep the Ten Commandments. And consequently, you cannot be blessed. I urge you to believe the gospel. You have to start off the relationship with God. Now, the third thing. What's the third thing that we may or may not know about the Ten Commandments? Well, they're unilateral. My wife, Lorna, always proofreads my sermons, and she offers suggestions. And when she came to this point, she kind of had a bit of a reaction. She said, oh, you're throwing one of those big words there. People aren't going to like that word, unilateral. We don't use that word all the time. Okay, I'll help you here. Familiar with a unicycle? How many tires does a unicycle have? One. What about a bicycle? That's two. Unilateral means the law comes by one party. It's a covenant that comes directly from God. A bilateral covenant is one that's negotiated by two parties, each party. We're very familiar with bilateral covenants. Marriage is probably the most easy example I could use. A husband and wife have to both agree and negotiate the terms, right? That's a bilateral covenant. God, when he made a covenant with Israel, basically says, this is what it is. You can take it or you can leave it. Why is this important? Because too many of us try to negotiate with God. We read the Ten Commandments. We say, I don't really like that commandment. Let's modify this a little bit. You know, I hear people say all the time, well, the Word of God means this to me. You heard that? Folks, you can't do that. And you don't want to do that. Because God is all wise and He's all loving. And the Ten Commandments come to us perfectly. See, they're perfectly designed to help us have a relationship with God. And they're perfectly designed to bless us. If you negotiate and change these commandments any way, you're not improving them. You're making them worse. They're going the wrong direction. You don't want to negotiate these Ten Commandments. And you can't. They're unilateral. That's why this is so important. Fourth thing that you may or may not know about the Ten Commandments. That is, why are there two tablets? Now, if you look at most common art and Hollywood movies, and in fact, if you even look at the cover of our bulletin, you say, well, there's two tablets because there's not enough room on one tablet to put all the commandments. And so, you know, you have half of the Ten Commandments on one tablet and the other half on the other. And people just commonly assume that that is the way it goes. Now, there are what is called two tables within the Ten Commandments. And by two tables, there's clearly two parts to it, right? The first four commandments, they deal with how we relate to God, right? And then the last six commandments deal with how we relate to other people, our neighbor. But that's not why there's two tablets. There's two tablets because when treaties and covenants were made in those days, two copies of the covenant were made. One copy for one party and one copy for the other. And so we have two tablets because one copy is God's memorial copy. And the other copy is Israel's memorial copy. And what did God tell Moses to do with those two copies? He says, put them in the Ark of the Covenant. Now, what was the Ark of the Covenant? Well, it was kind of a mobile throne for God, because this was a throne that God would sit on inside the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle or the temple. And so God was literally sitting on the memorial copies of the Ten Commandments, of the covenant He made with Israel. That was to remind Him always of the commitment that He had made and the covenant He had made with Israel. God has done the same thing in the New Covenant. Jesus says the covenant, the New Covenant, was made in His blood. What is before God the Father's throne always in heaven? Isn't it Jesus Christ? Before His throne are the five wounds of Jesus in which the blood of Jesus flowed. Two on the hands, two on the feet, and one from the side. God always has a reminder of the covenant. That's why that is so important. Fifth, the fifth thing you may or may not know, that the Ten Commandments aren't the only covenant stipulations we find in the Bible. They're not the only law code, okay? God revealed His stipulations, His requirements for Israel in stages. First came the Ten Commandments. Then, in Exodus 20 and following, comes what's called the Book of the Covenant. And then, in the Book of Leviticus, we find instructions on holiness. And finally, we're at Deuteronomy, which means the second law. And in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and following, we have another set of stipulations to guide the people of Israel in how to have a relationship with God. So why is this important? Well, it's important because it shows us the nature of the Ten Commandments and why we need those ten fingers to memorize them. Because the Ten Commandments are the foundation of all biblical law. In other words, it's the foundation of God's will for our lives. What's the foundation for all American law, United States law? It's supposed to be the Constitution, right? If a law is written and it's not in conformity with the Constitution, what do we say? It's unconstitutional. It's not valid. The Ten Commandments are the foundation. If you want to understand the rest of the Bible, if you want to understand God's will for your life, you've got to understand the Ten Commandments. So we've got to take the time to learn those Ten Commandments and teach them to our children and our grandchildren. They're absolutely critical. That's why this is so important. Now, number six. This is something else you may or may not know. All ten of the Ten Commandments are found in the law of Christ. Now, you may not be familiar with that term, law of Christ. What are you talking about? Well, it was common for people in Jesus' days to kind of in a shorthand way talk about all the Old Testament laws that I listed, you know, the Ten Commandments, the Book of the Covenant, the instructions on holiness, Deuteronomy, and they'd kind of lump it all together and call it the Law of Moses, because the law came through Moses. He was the intermediator. Well, the New Covenant has a law as well, which comes to us through the teachings of Jesus we find in the Gospel, and the teachings of Jesus given to us by the apostles in the other writings of the New Testament. And so, in shorthand, that's called by the apostles the law of Christ. We're called to obey the law of Christ. We're not under the law of Moses anymore. We're under the law of Christ. But that does not mean the Ten Commandments are no longer important. Because as we look at what the apostles and Jesus call us to obey and to do, what do we discover? That all ten of the Ten Commandments are restated once again in the New Testament. And so there's an abiding application and importance to the Ten Commandments. Again, they're foundational. That's why it's so important. Number seven. Something else you may or may not know about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are based on grace, not works. Again, our text today, verse 6, so foundational. Look at verse 6 of Deuteronomy 5. There we see in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 5 that God made us his people by grace. I am the Lord your God. We're going to see very clearly later on in Deuteronomy that God says to Israel, why did I choose you? Were you better than the other peoples of the world? Were you more righteous? And he says, absolutely not. You were the least of the people. You were nobodies. You were of no report. I didn't cheat pick you because of who you were. I picked you as my people because of grace. And then verse 6 talks about salvation. I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You know, so many people think, oh, we got to obey the Ten Commandments so God will save us. When did God save Israel? Before he gave them the Ten Commandments or after? It was before. They didn't even have the Ten Commandments. See, the Ten Commandments are not meant to earn God's favor. That's why it's so important to understand this point. We don't earn our standing with God, nor do we even keep our salvation with God through the Ten Commandments. Which brings me to the next thing you may or may not know. You see, you can break the Ten Commandments, but breaking them does not destroy the covenant. We see this so clearly in Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. I want to read this passage to you because it's so important. First of all, in this passage I'm reading now, Moses sees that Israel will not obey the Ten Commandments. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you will soon utterly perish from the land that you are going over Jordan to possess, that you will not live long in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord has driven you. And you will serve gods of wood and stone, the work of human hands, that neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. Moses saw very clearly Israel was not going to keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. If you think that keeping the Ten Commandments will keep you in a good relationship with God, keep your salvation, you're fooling yourself. You're doomed. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All will sin and fall short of the glory of God. But praise God, it doesn't end here. I want to continue at verse 29. When you're there in these foreign countries, he adds, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you're in tribulation, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God, and he will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them. Why is this important? It's important because it reminds us that our salvation is by grace from beginning to end. It's all about grace, people. It's not about works. Ten Commandments are not designed to save us, nor to keep us saved. Let's move on to the next two items, the last two items. I'm going to combine them because they're so related to each other. Number 9 is that there are two versions. And number 10 is that there's two ways of numbering the Ten Commandments. Now, I've combined them because they are dependent upon one another. One of the versions of the Ten Commandments is found in Exodus chapter 20. The other version of the Ten Commandments is found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, the book we're studying. But you need to understand that there's differences between each of these. The main differences are found primarily in what's said about the fourth commandment and about the last commandment, not the covet. Also, there's a difference in numbering because of this, and that affects the first and the second commandment. And this may be disturbing to some of you. It may disturb you just in the same way that the fact that the Gospels differ a little bit in the way they report what happens. But you need to understand how God brings us his revelation. He brings us his revelation in 3D so we can see from different perspectives. I want you to think of it like this. The Word of God, in this case the Ten Commandments, is like a diamond, a beautiful gem. You know, if a diamond, if you hold it up to the light, you'll see certain beauty one way. But if you turn the diamond, the facets of the diamond change things, and suddenly you discover new beauty and new truth to the beauty of that diamond, don't you? It's multifaceted. There's nothing that contradicts the two versions in Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5. They're complementary. All they do is they approach the commandment from different angles. So we gain different facets because it's like a beautiful diamond. And what a great place for me to end here. Why is this important? It's important because it reminds us that the Ten Commandments are a gem, a priceless gem. For us to examine in detail, what does a jeweler do? Does he not put on the jeweler's glass so he can really focus in on the beauty of that diamond? That's what I want us to do as a congregation throughout the summer, to put on the jeweler's glass, so to speak, and to look at each commandment, to look at the facet, to compare Exodus 20 to Deuteronomy 5, so we can just, like a grape, squeeze out every bit of delectable juice from it and be nourished by the Word of God. Amen? So let us love the Ten Commandments as we begin this journey together. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that this word teaches us how to be wise, teaches us how to live a life that pleases you and that blesses us. Most of all, how the law points us to Christ, our need for him. For none of us here can live up to the standards of these Ten Commandments. But praise God, there's one who did, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he has given his righteousness to all who call upon his name. Oh Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today who is hearing this message, who does not have a relationship with you, that today would be the day they would make that relationship begin. Because as John says in the opening words of this gospel, all who believe in Christ, God gives the right to become children of God. Oh Lord, may we all be your children through faith in your grace today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Word of God.